On November 10th, 2008, highly trained neurosurgeon Eben Alexander had an experience that changed his life. At the age of 54, Alexander was struck by a rare illness that sent him into a coma for 7 days. And during that time, his neocortex — the neocortex is the outer surface of the brain, it is the part of the brain that produces consciousness — and during this time in a coma, Eben Alexander's neocortex completely shut down, which is a way of saying that his brain stopped working. It was a little bit like turning off a light switch. Completely done. And Alexander, as a scientist, had long been a skeptic about near-death experiences. But when his brain shut down like this, he had one. He found himself in an entirely new world of consciousness, far beyond the limits of his physical brain. And he said that this other realm that he found himself in, he said it was more real than real. He said it was real in a way that makes the life we are living here seem completely dreamlike by comparison. And while he was in this sort of other realm, Eben Alexander received a piece of knowledge from the guides that he encountered there. It was delivered wordlessly in a couple of iterations, and he later went back and tried to capture this message in words, and he summarized it as follows: "You are loved and cherished. You have nothing to fear." The guides also told Eben Alexander that he was to come back into his body and to share this message with humankind. And surely he knew even then that this could be a life-changing message. Indeed, it has been a life-changing message. Imagine us all knowing that we are loved and cherished, and there is nothing to fear. Nothing to fear. So Alexander captured this experience and shared that message in his best-selling book, Proof of Heaven, and he's continued to publish other books and give talks and webinars. And in fact, we had him here, maybe some of you remember, several years ago. He came here to Unity Renaissance to share his inspiring story of insight. And in his books, Alexander writes, "The unconditional love and acceptance that I experienced on my journey is the single most important discovery I have ever made. It revealed," he said, "that our truest, deepest self is completely free. It's not crippled or compromised by past actions or concerned with identity or status. It comprehends that it has no need to fear the earthly world, and therefore it has no need to build itself up through fame or wealth or conquest." And then he adds, "This is the true spiritual self that all of us are destined someday to recover. This is the being living within all of us right now, and that is, in fact, the being that God truly intends us to be." Well, we know this state of being that he's describing. We may not remember it very well, but we've experienced it before, because this is how we came into the world, fresh from the realm of unconditional love and acceptance. You know, as babies and as young children, we're free and unlimited. Isn't it true? That's why we love being around children so much. Babies and young ones are all love and all joy. But then, of course, life happens. And as we grow older, fear and doubt begin to creep in. And before too long, we lose touch with our own innate perfection and goodness. And through our own experience and observation, we come to believe that in order to be loved, we have to be a certain way, or we have to act a certain way. We have this sort of preconceived notion of what it will take to win love in this life. And then we go about, we set a strategy about how to achieve that, and then we drive ourselves toward that goal. And along the way, as we inevitably don't measure up to the standards we've set for ourselves, we often become our own harshest critics. You know, we're learning all about this in our Enneagram class. It's like just such a perfect example. So the Enneagram is ancient wisdom that basically lays out a framework of 9 personality types that we human beings tend to choose from. We pick the one that we're going to exemplify in this life. We adopt that as our persona. And the persona that we adopt is not who we truly are. It's who we think we must be in order to be safe and loved. We, in fact, create a whole story around that, right? And that story begins to sort of direct our lives. And so moving through the points of the Enneagram, starting with type 1, we tell ourselves things like, in order to be loved, I have to be perfect. Number 2, I have to be needed. Number 3, I must achieve. 4, I must be special. 5, I must know everything. 6, I must protect myself and others. 7, I must keep moving to avoid pain. 8, I must be in charge. 9, I must avoid conflict. And so we begin to mold ourselves into these roles, if you will, these persona of being the perfectionist, the giver, the achiever, the tragic romantic, the thinker, the loyal skeptic, the adventurer, the boss, and the peacemaker. And we begin to define our lives very narrowly, and while these personas that we adopt may serve a useful purpose in helping us navigate the day-to-day realities, the really sad, sort of tragic truth is that it obscures the most foundational spiritual truth, that each and every one of us is already loved and lovable, exactly as we are. And in fact, when we've been studying the Enneagram, I often find myself wishing, you know, that we could just like lay a calming hand on each person and say, hey, take it easy. You don't have to knock yourself out like that. You don't have to reshape yourself into something. You're already wonderful. You're already loved. And isn't that truly what Jesus most taught? I mean, that's how I think of him. When I think of Jesus, I think of this sort of soothing balm and loving presence that essentially he did lay a calming hand on people in his own way, right? Through his message and his ministry, he pretty much said, hey, listen, there's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with you. You might make a mistake, but you're not a mistake. You're a radiant child of God. You're a glorious expression of the divine, the light of the world. You are inherently good and inherently loved. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to prove anything. You don't have to earn anything. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom just as you are. To give you the kingdom, and that kingdom we know is the realm of unconditional love and acceptance. And so how do we experience that kingdom? How do we really, you know, he says the kingdom of heaven is right here, right now. How do we actually experience that? Well, if in fact it is the realm of unconditional love and acceptance, we enter it by practicing love and acceptance, love and compassion, first and foremost, for ourselves. You know, a lot of times when people hear self-love, they confuse that with egotism, and they think, oh, you know, loving yourself, ooh, you think you're all that, or you're getting yourself all puffed up there, thinking that you're better than other people. No, that's not what this is. Loving yourself means honoring and appreciating your own spiritual essence, your own innate wholeness, the true, unique you. It means being your own champion. It means being on your own side. It means being your own best friend. A lot of us don't operate like that, do we? You know, loving ourselves can feel like a pretty big challenge. So here's one place we can start, by going back to the beginning, by reconnecting with that innocent child in us who got overtaken a while back by a false narrative. You know, each of us has an inner child that has been hurt or silenced or shamed or shunned. And we can heal that. And we can reclaim that inner child within us. And in the process, rekindle our own, not only our own self-love, but our own joy and our own sense of wonder. So when I think about my inner child, I think of this. Yes, friends, there I am. Little jowls and all. And when I look at this, I think to myself, you know, there's a few things I'd like to say to that little girl. A few things I'd like to say to little Paula up there. And so what I have in my hand is the picture of this iconic photo in the middle. And I'd say this. Well, look at you. So full of life, ready to take on the world. I see your joy. I see your radiance. I see your love. You know, life hasn't always been easy for us. And I'm sorry for the times that I and others closed you off or shut you down. It wasn't your fault. It wasn't your fault. And now it's time to heal that, because you're okay. Because you're safe. I love you and I will protect you. You can relax now. And I welcome your boundless spirit. So let's go forward together, living fully, making a difference in the world, and enjoying the ride. Little sweetie. What does your inner child need from you? Is that innocent presence in you? Is it hunkered down? Or is it standing tall? Maybe it could use a little love and compassion from you. You know, the Buddha said that you yourself, as much as anybody in the entire universe, deserves your love and affection. You deserve your love and affection. And so this Valentine's Day, as you go out there and joyfully express your love for others, I invite you to also express your love for yourself. And there's a very easy way to do that. So I'd like you to consider this. Consider writing a love letter to yourself. And I brought along one of my favorite videos today to show you what happened when a few other folks did that.
Love letter to myself.
Here we go.
Dear CB.
Dear John.
Dear Mr. White.
Dear self.
Why did I agree to this?
Do you love yourself? Yes or no? Yes, we'll keep working on it.
Dev, I love lots of things about you. In fact, every day together is one giant adventure of how much love, meaning, connecting, and gratitude you can fit into it.
I've known you for 25 years now. Through the long journey we have had together, there have been many ups and downs.
But you also always seem to stay calm and collected. That's what I like about you. You're always so easygoing.
I really have never been very good to you, ever really. And I probably owe you an apology.
I must say, you've been through a lot. I'm very proud of you for how far you've come.
Listen, you're pretty great. I know you say that to yourself a lot, but you never really genuinely believe it. Start believing it.
Love my ability to listen. I think it's a very special trait I have to be able to really understand people and just listen when that's what they need.
I don't know why I find it so difficult to find a soft, warm place for you in my heart. I'm always getting in your way and never thinking that you're good enough.
I know you're still going through some obstacles in life. I know you'll get through it. You are so awesome.
Give it time and just love yourself. You can't just wait for somebody else with. You have to start with you, Nicole.
I think we should make a date to at least once a week have a cup of tea together. I want to love you and embrace you and treat you just as I would like to be treated, with loving acceptance. Let's start with tea.
Thanks for being open with yourself, and I love you.
Passion and grace, Devin.
Love, Nicole.
Solberg Cake, subscribe.
Hey, so how about giving that a try, huh? As Jesus taught, as Eben Alexander discovered, and as you already on the deepest level know, you're loved, and you're cherished, and you are worthy. So put a little love in your heart for you. Happy Valentine's Day. Let's turn now to our meditation. I invite you to get comfortable in your seat and take a deep breath in. Release and let go. Let go and let go. Feel this beautiful love moving in and through you. As you survey the landscape of your uniquely wondrous life. Allow yourself to bring into your consciousness that sweet, innocent, little child that you are, that joyful presence that is still in you, still a part of you. Send it some love. Send it some peace, some healing, and even some joyful anticipation. As you fill your own internal reservoir with self-love, I invite you to hold this prayer of loving kindness in your own heart, directed to every part of you. Let these words become yours. May I be happy. May I be at peace. May I be free from suffering. May I know that I am loved. May I be happy. May I be at peace. May I be free from suffering. May I know and truly know that I am loved. Breathe into this flow of love within you. Take this prayer into your own heart for a few moments in the silence. Releasing into this truer than true realm of unconditional love and acceptance. May we be happy. May we be at peace. May all beings everywhere be free of suffering. And may we know that we are loved. And so it is. So we let it be. Amen.